Ocean FM.
Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.
It was just fabulous to see him alive and up and picking her up.
Demi's winning matches. Demi's winning games.
The thing about the club is you don't choose your club. It's like family.
You want to get back out on the field. It's just that it's in your blood, I suppose. And you just want to get out there now and get the games going again.
Brian Murray.
Thank you.
Let me shake hands with you. You came in here hobbling. How are you feeling now?
Oh, I'm all right. I tell you nothing but a couple of pints won't do, I'll tell you, you know.
He gets a bit behind it. He launches it in. It's over the bar. The wee man.
Yes, welcome to the show. Paddy McGill here. Just a reminder, you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, or online at oceanfm.ie. On this week's show, I have Eamon McGee and Martin McElhinney here to talk about the showcase event in Donegal Club Football, Niamh Connell v St Junans on Sunday. Later on in the podcast, Brian McCabe talks to me about Karen Donna versus Letterkenny Gales, who clash in the Junior A final on Saturday. Lads, by pure coincidence, it's the same three here as last year for the county final. Didn't realise that till this morning. I was going digging it up because I was actually going listening back to it. So the years have been kind, Martin. And Eamon?
How did we call it, Paddy? Did we call it right, did we?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, honestly, Eamon, it was mad. It was like we had done the record of the podcast an hour after the game. You actually made about 7 statements and every one of them was 100% very, very accurate.
That's the broken clock theory there. Hey? It's nice to be right at least once.
I meant to say, Martin and myself need to congratulate you. I heard you got the Donegal job because I got 7 forwarded messages saying that it's you, Barry O'Hagan, and Gary McDade. So, congratulate. Did you congratulate Martin?
I've got a few of them text messages too.
Best luck with that, Eamon.
Cheers, Martin. we'll get you in. No, I got a few of them texts now, but definitely. Has been no talk of anything, and it's just the rumor mill going, and that's what happens. That there's not enough information out there. People are playing the thing close to their chest, and you know any wee story or any wee angle at all is inevitably going to gain a bit of legs. So we've waited long enough now. So I think you know wait for this week, wait for this 2 weeks or three weeks or whatever it is, and just kind of what's the Dublin J lad say, just trust the process at this stage.
Yeah, trust the process. Just for our listeners, Eamon McGee has not got the Donegal job, but who knows, he might be part of a ticket, who knows, with the under-20s as well the past couple of seasons. So yeah, we'll wait and see. Just a very quick one as well, how's your brother getting on in retirement? I heard your lovely piece with Austin last week on the show. Brilliant.
Getting on the best now. Everybody's coming to me and saying, can you get him or get Neil to do a bit of talking here? Will you get him on this podcast? Will you get him on that podcast? And he's getting on the best. He's made peace with it. Listen, we knew it was coming, going the way last year and the way this year went through for him. But it's still sad when you see it in black and white on the back of a newspaper. It's still sad to see him going. It's the end of an era. And you know, I don't know, will Martin agree with me, but probably one of the best fullbacks to not alone play for Donegal, but play in the intercounty game.
Yeah, without doubt. Like it's sad to see players like that go, no more so than like when Eamon or Neil Gallagher and them go. Like it takes a toll on the county because they were so well loved like throughout the whole length and breadth of it. Like, but look, we're just blessed to have had some of them players, you know, Carr Lacey, Frank McGlynn, them kind of players. Like Neil was up there with them, if not ahead of them. Like, so to see him go, it's very sad, but time waits and no man, as they say, and you can't you can't doubt his career. Like, it was just unbelievable playing for so many years, the longevity of it. Like, there's no, I don't think it'll ever be done again. Like, you know, there's nobody playing for that long now. Maybe Barr likes Michael Murphy and that kind of stuff, but the level of professionalism and commitment, you'll not see that going forward, I don't think.
I'm just so likable as well, apart from being brilliant. I always noticed before games, particularly during COVID, he would put an hour before throwing. He might even come up and just give you a little smile and almost come up and talk to you, and then he'd go out and have a brilliant game. But just, I think, very unique, to be honest, as well as being so, so talented. Lads, I was just said to you at the outset, I was listening to last year's show, and there are some striking similarities as how we kind of approach this game on Sunday. St. Junans were looking and searching last year for 12 months ago for this kind of a almost serotonin kick, and they got it in the final, which you actually said, Eamon. You said they were stuttering and you felt they were going to have a big, big final. They were totally pedestrian up until that. Many people looking at Niamh Connell, certainly outside of the parish of Inishkeel, they felt their hunger might not be satisfied, fully satisfied with the Dr. Maguire. There was people looking at them probably maybe beyond and perhaps an Ulster title. It's mad, Eamon, how the landscape can change so quickly within 12 months.
It's mad, surely. Hey, I think the chat coming off the Kilcare result on Saturday night was, this Unions team are going to dominate for a few years. And last year it was, this Unions team is very, very beatable. To now they're going to dominate. But and everybody's writing off Niamh Connell. Everybody's saying that they're finished and they're this and they're that. And it's just crazy the way, you know, we're in the side of things now, and we kind of make grand sweeping statements that they're the best in the world, or, you know, they're going to do this and that. And sometimes it's better off just taking a more balanced approach than just kind of hold back and do it.
Martin, you both referenced disability last year, and I mean, you did as well. But the top teams, they have this ability to taper their season for a game or two. So can Niamh Connell, like St. Junan's last year, can they find form from a quarter semis to a final?
Yeah, I definitely think they can. I don't think there's any team in Donegal that suits better coming in under the radar. You know, no one's giving them a chance. They're peaking at the right time. You know, they're getting players back that had been out during the season, during the league and all, and the early part of the championship. And that's probably why people were thinking, you know, that their time has passed them by and stuff like that. But look, Glenties will be delighted the way this week's going. You know, everyone's tipping Unions the last two to three weeks to for Ulsters and Donegal championships and stuff like that, whereas no one's really mentioning Glenties. They're coming in under the radar, and they have some serious experience that have been dealing with county finals every year for the last 10 years. Like, and, you know, it wouldn't be surprised me if there was a shock in the cards with Glenties. Like,
just on that, Eamon, then, like, does being written off actually matter to a team? Like, or is it just terrace talk, pub talk? Like, you and many others who know the game say words like hunger, desire. They're just different words for being well coached, being well prepared.
Yeah. No, I think it can help. I don't think Niamh Connell like being written off, but it's not their primary motivation. You know, they have a good identity there. They're closely knit and they fight for each other. And it plays into them, you know, if teams write them off and teams, you know, I remember in 2019, you know, we played them over three games, and, you know, every game they were written off, and they really, really embraced that. But it's not their primary motive. If that's your prime motivation as a team, like, it's a dangerous thing to be basing every game, you know, going out every game, you have to be written off. It's not the way that Niamh Connell approach it, but it feeds into their whole psyche and their whole kind of the mentality that, you know, it's us against everybody now.
You know, it's a credit to the club that they are. Like, they're in the three county finals now this year. You know, the three senior finals, like, it's madness for, like, they're not a big town in general, like, but they just keep producing so many good footballers, like, but that's just because...
I think Niamh Connell are a credit, not just on the field, but what they do off the field in terms of, you know, I've seen something during was it a few weeks ago, a few months ago, they were doing grinds for junior shirt down at the clubhouse. And in terms of their inclusivity and how they're a community model, I think like they're definitely something that a lot of us in this county should strive towards.
It's actually, you've probably, like, they started coming, like, there were nothing special, kind of, my age group, the age group above, they were okay, two age groups above that. Like, I'm just comparing even with our draw, we were probably stronger, and then there was a couple of age groups below us, and it was tit for tat, like, there was some brilliant, brilliant battles. Then they won a minor, 03 or 04, and then they won that senior 05 out of nothing. But you never thought in school, like I was in the same year as Anthony Thompson and Marty Boyle was a year ahead. You just never thought. Martin, I'm sure you were the same. And Eamon, they wouldn't have been massively on the radar underage. And then they won that 05 and they got a huge kick at minor and under 21. Like, lads, the legacy is, like, my point is they had good players coming through and then they hit those good under 21 teams. But I can see they're leaving at the minute, lads, is it's silliness. 11 finals since 05.
Yeah, but I think them boys are coming through into them under 21 teams and all set a standard every year in the club. You know what I mean? So any new player that are coming in off underage teams realised they had to get to that standard every year. And the older boys weren't letting it drop. You know what I mean? They weren't happy if things weren't going well, proper management, proper setups and all. So that only like led to the success. So if you have one or two new players coming every year and you see the level that the boys are playing, no, it's kind of similar even to what to say the Donegal set up, if you know what I mean. Like the likes of when Jim took over and that kind of stuff, he set a standard. Michael Murphy and these boys set a standard. And then that's where Donegal standards are at now every year. Do you know what I mean? Whereas Glenties came in that time, probably when Jim probably took involved with them, you know. And each year then, their players, their senior players, like Santy Thompson, all know that that's the level, and it never dips that low below it. Like, so I think that's a big thing. Like,
and I think too, someone that should be shouted out in terms of the new Connell club is Martin Regan's his little boy, his dad. Like, in terms of the work he did at underage, and he brought, as I remember, going up against the new Connell teams at on underage, and it's just funny now that a lot of that group is driving the thing and Martin's managing the team. So it's come full circle and, you know, success breeds success. And, you know, you just need good people driving the thing. And I'd imagine that, like, he wasn't doing it for pats in the background. He just wanted to see the club do well. And there would have been very little ego involved in it. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah, I've asked loads of them because, like, we obviously went to school there, 99.9% of our draft people. I have asked a couple that I'm friendly with over there, and he's in the top two, three names. That's Martin Regan Sr. is always mentioned. And then obviously Jim came along and they, you know, was also a key figure. Lads, quickly, onto the game. Eamon, first of all, 8 days. Is it enough preparation, Eamon, for St. Eunan's?
Good. Listen, it's not ideal, and I know Rory was kind of called it out there. It's not ideal, but just the circumstances being in it, it was tragic circumstances last weekend and the game had to be called off and there was postponed. Sure. And, you know, it's not ideal, but the thing about it is that if Colin knew they were probably going to make plenty or make Unions along the way, and Unions had the same. So they have plenty of homework done on each other. They have plenty of video there, and they have plenty of league games, plenty of championship games. So in terms of the physical prep, you know, probably not ideal. You always like to have that 2 week block and, you know, recover any knocks or bruises and then just taper your way into the final. But the boys are about long enough and they're two experienced setups that, you know, there would have been a bit of, Rory would have said a few words, but it's parked very quickly come, you know, Sunday morning. It was just all focused on Niamh Connell, and it's just open up the file or open up the folder he has in them and let's go at it here.
Yeah, they would have a fair idea at the start of the season. There's a high chance that they could meet each other. Like, so I don't think that week is going to make a big difference. But it is, the only thing is getting the bodies right. Is probably the only one. 2 weeks would be ideal, but it was just the circumstances, you know.
Yeah. Eamon, what kind of a game is it going to actually be? Like, what type of game plan will Niamh Conrail bring to this? They're going to try and cause chaos? Are they going to try and keep St. Junans at bay? We probably know they're going to launch a couple of grenades in on top of Patton. That's one thing they're definitely going to try and do.
Without a doubt. We've seen on Saturday night, and, you know, we'll just go back to Saturday night for just a second, just to say that St. Unions looked to be, they could have beat Kilcar by, you know, 6, 7, 8 points at one stage. You know, harsh enough call, Shane O'Donnell, they went up and Kilcar got the goal and they rocked Unions a wee bit and it put them in a position where they were in so much control and, you know, looked really, really impressive. And they had to ask questions of themselves. You know, they're put into a corner and, you know, they responded really well now. So that's as good a preparation as St. Unions will get coming into this game. And they'll probably needed that weak curveball because Niamh Conrail are going to throw a few at them. And the big one is Patton sitting in, you know, a few high balls in around the square because it's probably been called out before. You know, for all what he does on the ground and, you know, the kicking he does, that, you know, that high ball seems to cause him a bit of bother. So the Leo will be knocking about there, Big Charlie will be knocking about there, plus a few others just to cause a wee bit of chaos. And I'm just trying to wonder, like, what's the best approach to go at it? And, you know, TG Cahir, because their family will probably be hoping that, you know, no team parks the bus here because they've been burned before by a few county finals. And, they'll be thinking, please let these two teams go at it. But I think it's not going to be cagey, but I think it's still going to be, you know, it's going to be tight to get a score here.
Yeah, I think that's what Glenties have been renowned for throughout the last 10 years, like, is the possession game, you know, how they keep the ball so well, like, they're just been drilled into them, like, and then when it's the right opportunity all the time, they hit the diagonal, or they can make the light, or the line breakers, you know, they have like Leo breaking lines, the Doherty's breaking lines, and Kieran Thompson and stuff like that. They're so good at, like, but they will be patient. They'll not want to get turned over by Unions and get hit on the counter. Like, so it could be just like a game of chess, like a county final, like probably even more so than last year, because Unions got ahead of the Glenties early on last year and kept the pressure on, like, and they got away from them. Whereas I don't think Unions will want that to happen this year at all, like.
Yeah, I've got a question in, lads. Same question to both of you. I'm going to try and paraphrase it because 3 or 4 people have messaged me this. Eamon, if you're planning for St. Junan's, like, is there an overall systematic game plan, almost a generic one? For example, match them zonally in a particular sector? Because personnel-wise, you don't really know who they're going to go with. Like, they could play Darragh McGrew, they could play Sean McVeigh, they could play bloody, like, their bench.
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying because I was sitting up behind the Unions dugout there on Saturday night, and I just seen Owen Dowling and Tobin walking off, and I thought to myself, so I was involved with the 20s this year, and that's 2 year, you know, senior players, really, really strong players, and, you know, I don't think any other club in, you know, a lot of counties can get away with doing something like that there. And when you go to do the matchups, when Martin Regan sits down with the lads this weekend, right, we're going to take Shane O'Donnell, we're going to take Niall O'Donnell, we're going to try and get McGeehan, and there's still a lot of quality out there. There's still a lot of quality in terms of, you know, that can hurt you from deep. You know, is Tobin going to start? Is he going to hurt them from deep? Is Keenan Ward going to, you know, bomb forward? And I think you have to go with certain, you know, be that whoever they sit down and decide the tag, but I don't think he can afford to go zonally completely against the Unions. You know, you have to tag certain. I think Niall O'Donnell is definitely someone that needs close attention. Shane, you know, there's some people you can argue, just pick him up in with the zonal defense, or do you go man to man? That's a different one. But there's certain men that, you know, need that special attention. But I don't think he can afford to go completely zonal against them.
Like Darragh McGrew, 26, came in for Sean McVeigh before the throw-in, and Pádraic McGettigan came in for Conor O'Donnell Jr., who we believe had a bug. Like, Jesus, Martin, I'm actually looking at both benches here. You'd actually make some team. Like, Stephen Malloy could be cornerback. You could have Conor Morrison fullback. Like, Kieran Tobin, county under 20 captain. Brian McIntyre's not getting a look in this year. Oren Winston played a couple of games. Dowling, Brick Malloy and the other team. Jesus, it's an embarrassment to riches, Martin. But it must be, as Eamon said, very hard to plan for.
Yeah, it is very hard to plan for, like, in fairness. And Eamon didn't even mention Conor Donnell there, who at six, like, I think he needs watching, you know, because when the play is slowed down and they're over and back with the ball, he seems to dictate the pace. Like, you know, if you stop him getting on it and being that quarterback, like, it might have a wee bit of effect on him. Like, but that's it. It's, as we played them in Glenties this year in the championship, and like, you just didn't know where there were boys coming running left, right, and centre, coming off the shoulder and stuff. So it is very hard to just pinpoint one area where they're so strong. You know, do you push up on their kickouts really hard? Or maybe, and one thing I think the Glenties will do is they put a serious press on that middle third, try and get them fouled early, and maybe even get dropped back into their defensive shape then, you know, around the middle. They seem to do a lot of that there. So I definitely think that's one tactic that Glenties will continue to do, you know, to try and get them slowed up that wee bit around the middle third. Because they don't really put that much of a press on the kickouts that much, Glenties. You know, they put a small press, but it's not as gung-ho as other teams. Like, and then it's probably a good enough thing against Patton, if you know what I mean. Because he can just pick anything, like, pick it, put it in your pocket, as they say.
You know, I think that's what will happen too, is that Niamh Collin will say, here you go, to the likes of Connor Park or Aaron Deeney, or, you know, even Keelan Ward, if he's sitting in there, and say, just take the short off Patton. Rather than, you know, pressing up and saying, Patton, right, try and break us down the long. I think that they'll, because Niamh Collin are good. They're not like other teams where they just immediately retreat. You know, they have the option of pushing up. You know, if Patton gets it away to someone like Connor Park, Niamh Collin are decent at pressing up and putting the pressure on and maybe forcing that error. And we've seen that. But some of the Niamh Collin or St. Union's defenders just aren't 100% comfortable on the ball. So, you know, that's maybe something that they'll be planning for. They'll have designated a few men, say, right, let Patton get the ball to them, and then, you know, we'll try and turn these boys over.
Patton, I know we mention him a lot in every podcast. You tweeted about him, Eamon, on Saturday night, and look, you know a lot more about football than I do, but just even on commentary, I know there might be the caveat of the high ball here and there, but his restarts were on another pill. And as I said, I'm not an anorak in these things, like you lads are, who've played, who've been in that middle third sector, and Jesus, they were on another planet Saturday night. It's key, isn't it?
For me, I think it was just a joy to watch. Hey, Paddy, it was just a joy to watch Patton just make them restarts, and it's just such a dangerous weapon. It's like the Kiara pressing, and then Patton just picks one off the nail it on over the top, or, you know, it's so elegant the way that he strikes the ball, and he's just able to ping it onto the chest to some Unions player, and it's such a, you know, you're immediately on to and a dangerous attack. It's just not you get the ball and you're into three or four of the opposition players. Patton gets the ball out and, you know, they're in a danger spot. There's an overlap. You know, the likes of Conor O'Donnell, the likes of Keelan Ward are creating that overlap. And, you know, Shane O'Donnell's running hard from deep. And I would love just to pick out a highlight reel and, you know, to tweet the highlight reel from Saturday night, because it was just a joy to watch now.
It's a one-step kick out as well. So, like, if you're pressing up and you think it's not going long because you're standing over the ball, he just hits it from standing up from a standing position and it goes 50 yards. So that's why it's so hard to stop or to try and put a high press on it. Like, so it's a really unique kick out that way, because any other keeper in the game has to take three or four steps back and hit it long, whereas he can just hit it from one step. So I think that's what makes him so unique.
Is there any chance that Niamh Collin will just give up all the kickouts?
There's logic to it. There's definitely logic to it, and maybe set up on the Union's 45 and try. I don't think they'll completely retreat and give it up, because we've seen in the county final once, you know, it was much given out about, you know, pundits down the country would have given out about a lot in last year's county final, but Unions were in total control. They were working the spots and just looking to get the shots off. So Niamh Collin will have learned from that. We're not going to let them do that, let them build and let them, you know, dictate the pace of the game. So you can make an argument to say, right, ways go, have the short kick out, but you're going to meet us here on the on your 45 and you're going to have to try and break us down. And, you know, they're at least that way, they're not going to get caught with that, because it's a potential goal. If you get caught with that, you press up, get caught with the one over the top. It's Shane O'Dowell run off at a pace. It's a potential goal.
Lads, we've seen in these games too, Martin, in the past couple of years between the top four, the team, I know it's a cliche and it can get a little bit tired and nauseating, but we saw it in last year's final on McGeehan's goal. That actually gave Unions the platform. So the first 20-25 minutes for both, like, there's a fair chance of one of these teams take a 4-5 point lead after 20-25 minutes that they actually go on to win the game.
Yeah, definitely. Because the two teams are coached to not give away loads of scoring opportunities and stuff. So if they get a lead at all, the two teams are very good at keeping possession and not taking the stupid shots or taking into contact. They're so good at making sure the ball goes dead or goes over the bar. Like, and if they get 3 or 4 points up, that's nearly the winning margin for these teams, if you know what I mean, because they're so used to doing it. They're so used to killing time, keeping the ball, recycling it, going over and back. And then when it's the right time to inject that bit of pace, you know, they're all doing it at the right time and they're getting their scores or at least getting it dead. They're not dropping it short and getting on the counter-attack. Like.
Yeah. Martin, you were talking to us on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, which we obviously binned because of the tragic circumstances. And I just wanted to bring in Eamon in on this point. Martin was making the point about Ethan O'Donnell, almost being underrated sometimes, him and Donegal as a club player, because we talk about other guys and Martin made the point he's been as consistent as impressive as anybody in the past 3 years.
I think you can make a call for Ethan being the best, definitely in the top three club players in Donegal at the minute, because what he's so important to Niamh Connell and what he's bringing and the leadership that he's bringing to his team. And you're right, you know, but I think teams are copping on to that now. I think it's nearly like the Donoghue Walsh situation where everybody said he was underrated and then the more people talked about him, the more they realised how important he was to Kerry. And the more people say he's underrated, the more he's going to get picked up now. And Ethan is important, and someone that probably falls into that category too, and the other side, Unions, is young McGeehan, the corner forward, because he's probably not going to get into an inter-county setup. And, you know, if he gets a chance, possibly, it depends, he might get a chance. But he's a savage club player, and like, he's always good for a score, and he's always good, really good eye for goal there. Like, and he's probably one of them players that just goes under the radar, but a serious, serious club player.
Actually, when you say that, when we were doing our pre-work for the Unions game, like, he's one of the highest scorers in the championship. You know, when you don't ever actually think about him when you're actually going to about Unions, you think about the Donalds and all, but he's their top, one of their top scorers, you know, so he's definitely hitting a couple of points every match. Like,
he was an amazing outlet for Unions in the Kilcarran Saturday night. Like, he was out in front all
movement,
the time.
And his movement,
but might not worked out for him on the scoreboard, but he was winning ball and it was sticking, and he was just being a real danger all the time. Eh?
But I think why we go back to Ethan that, and I think why he's so important to Glenties is that now is probably because the likes of Brandy McDyer, you know, Anthony Thompson, Leo, and that, they're probably up there. Elder statesmen now, like, so they need energy from somewhere else. So Ethan and the Dohertys bring that energy, you know, that they probably don't have with the likes of Leo and them players. Like, they just control the tempo of the thing, and then to insert that bit of pace and bit of speed in that, you have the likes of Ethan doing it all the time and the Dohertys, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, Eamon, Owen Wade, Anthony Thompson, Brendy, Leo, obviously legends of the game. Is pace a concern going into a game of this?
It obviously is a concern, but I think the head, you know, I think the head will make up for that. There are situations like Leo, Tony, or these boys will not want to get in a 1v1 situation with the likes of Tobin, with the likes of young McGeehan or anything like that there, but they will read the game so well. And I think the head nearly compensates to a degree for that lack of pace. And they're so smart. They're so smart of players, and they're just dogs, and they'll take the body to the limit. They'll push it past the limit. Even that's how much they want to win. So it's a wee bit of a concern, but I don't think the way Niamh Collin play that there's ever going to be a situation where they're going to find themselves that they're going to be exposed like that.
There's no doubt about that. Such class players. Just quickly, lads, because we haven't much more time, what are the key matchups, Zoe? I mean, you've briefly touched on it. Niall and Shane are obviously going to be tracked. So who are St. Junan's, do you think? Oran Doherty's caused teams a lot of problems this year. They have numerous options for him, don't they, Eamon?
They do. Like Rory, that's the thing. Rory's hardest job this week, I think, is to pick his team and to what's the best team that can hurt Niamh Connell here. If I'm sitting in the Niamh Collin dressing room and I'm thinking, you know, what's Martin Regan? Who's he going to pick up with? First of all, you have to deal with the Patton situation. Like, that's the first thing you deal with. I think we'll see a situation where they'll let a corner back free, or they'll possibly give it up and it says meet them on the 45. And then definitely have to pick up Niall. I'm not sure I'd go man-to-man with that. I think, you know, Martin makes a good point. You go, right, full-on with Connor and don't let him, last time he touches the ball. And after that, then, you just, it's take your pick. Like, I think McGeehan's probably going to have to come under a bit of attention, so I'm going to go with Niall, McGeehan have to be picked up, and Connor O'Donnell. I don't know, does Martin agree with that?
Yeah, I do actually agree with it. I just think, you know, When Glenty slow them up, if they go put someone on Conor O'Donnell, that it kind of stops that transition play over and back the field. And even there, say Patton has a habit of coming out the field now. You know, if Glenty's are back in their shape and they see Patton come out, I would be telling Charles McGinnis to head straight for an under the goal. You know what I mean? So that kind of puts two doubts in Patton's mind to stay out, you know, so it brings an extra player back, that kind of stuff. But I do think that you need to mark Connor, and I do think you need to mark Niall because he gets a lot of touches as well. Like, but I don't know who Glenties are going to put on them.
Yeah, it's funny. Aaron Kiernan has been on the podcast a lot. He loves the phrase "keep them honest." That's why he's always obsessed. And he said, "Cross McGlenn, we're always obsessed with leaving 2-3 up Martin at all times." He always uses the phrase "keep them honest."
That's the Cross McGlenn way.
But, like, if you do drop everyone back and you're allowing that extra man to come up, Patton, say, come out of goals, get on the ball and that kind of stuff, like, it gives them a numeral advantage. So then all it takes is one slip pass, and Unions have so many off-the-shoulder runners that their movement is so good and so consistent that they're going to hurt you. So if you do see that kind of thing, send the big man back in. As they say, like, send Charles McGinnis back in, and McGill plays in there a wee bit now as well. Send them back in onto the sticks. And Patton has to think twice about coming back out and being that extra man. Conor Donnell has to think twice about trying to be that quarterback kind of player. He'll have to come back and sit in there just in case Glenty's turning you over. Like, you know,
and Aaron, just when Martin's nearly convincing me now is that there's an argument to be made is that you could nearly leave four up and just try and trust your defensive unit to shut it down, and because that four need to be marked possibly by what a plus one, so that's five. Like, but I just think that you could make a call. I don't think we'll see it happen, but you can nearly make an argument for it.
Well, you have to be brave on that, like, because if you're confident that you're not going to lose possession that much and not get caught in the counter, that's the right thing to do. Leave three or four people up. Like, even if you look at, say, Derry in the Ulster Championship this year, they pushed four or five people into the inside line, but they were so assured that they were going to keep the ball out around the middle and not lose it, that's why they did it, you know. So if Glenties feel that they can do that, which, you know, they're probably the best team in Donegal to do it, keep possession, get Leo, get Anthony Thompson, get Owen Wade hugging the touchline on the ball, they'll not cough up too much possession easily. Like, but I think that's the way they could hurt them. But I do still think the Junans are just a different animal this year, you know, compared to other years. Like, we played them in Glenties, as I say, and we played Glenties as well. And just the intensity from their high press was so impressed with. Like, you know, once you got the ball at all, you were just had contact straight away within like 2-3 seconds.
So impressed by Unions on Saturday night for like about 20 minutes. I was just kind of thinking, this is so bloody slick. Like, and you know, when people are talking about Rory Cavanagh as a potential county manager, and he's, I think for about 20 minutes on Sunday, and for even the reaction, Union's reaction, I think that what he's instilled in them, because, you know, what he won a county championship last year, and I don't think that they should be looking at Rory as a county manager because he won a championship with Unions. I think that's, they have such riches and all, I don't think that's the barometer. I don't think they should be looking at him because he's a 2012 winner with an All-Ireland 2012. But I think they should be looking at him and what he's done with that group in terms of the way Martin referenced there, that he's brought them to now from last year to this year. The high press, they've evolved now. They're better attacking, they're better defending. They can drop back, defend. They can push up and defend. Their kickouts are better. Their kickouts are slicker. They're hungrier. If you look at an interview Rory did after the game, you could see that there was a group of Unions players doing runs on the field. So normally you only see that. I've never seen it with any club team I've been involved in where teams, and he has all them lads hungry and, you know, really mad for to drive Unions on.
I think
that's why they should be looking at Unions or Rory as a potential manager.
They've definitely evolved as a team too. You know, they won the championship last year in Donegal and they played Waddy Grahams, was it, in O'Donnell Park?
Mm-hmm.
And they got penned in and they couldn't get the ball out for ages. You know, they put a high press on and Unions couldn't get the ball out because they had it so easy in the championship before that. And I think Rory's looked at that and going, look, that's what we have to do. We have to evolve into that. And that's one of their main things this year in the game plan is, one, if they get the short kick out, or if you get a short kick out away, they're nailing you. If you make a turnover, they're nailing you. They're putting a real focus on the high press. I think that's a very good sign of a manager when you evolve like that. You're not just pigeonholed into the one system, the one state of play.
And someone that should be called out is O'Herlihy, that works a lot, not even under Rory, but works alongside him. You know, I think he deserves a lot for the way they have evolved. And he is a big input in terms of the football side of things.
Small management team, lads, for a club team. It's interesting. There's a few boys there, but a lot less than other clubs, Eamon.
I just think Rory has had the vision of, as I remember saying to him, because I seen a lot of these young players at underage, and I remember saying to him a few years ago, says, you're going to win a championship. It might be too late for you in terms of, you know, you'll be retired, but you have a serious group of players coming through. And sure enough, Rory is now managing. Rather than playing, he's now managing. He's had this vision, I'd imagine, for a long time, that how he wants Unions playing and how he's going to win the championships. And, you know, once you have that, do you really need much people on board with you? You need people that have a similar vision to you.
So it's your fault, Eamon, and you told him to go for the Unions job.
Well, I've told Rory a lot of things, Martin, and thankfully he hasn't listened to most of it.
I don't know him, obviously, Eamon, that well. I've interviewed him a few times and say hello to him and had him on the podcast once or twice. I like the way he conducts himself on the line, and I like the way he is. See, when you ask him something in interviews, if he says 10 words, they're all well thought out words. He doesn't throw away anything. He seems very calculated and measured.
I think that's calculated and measured. He's very, very measured in terms of, you know, well, Martin will back me up on this too, but he's a smart guy, and as says, he's had, I believe anyway, he's never actually told me now, because, you know, the way the whole club arms race is in Donegal, Martin won't tell me anything, Rory won't tell me anything now, but I believe that Rory's had this vision for Unions for a good few years here, and, you know, he's done plenty of homework. I also believe that the one game he wanted last year was Niamh Connell, because he knew how to beat them and he proved that. And the second part of it now is to do this back-to-back. And unfortunately, that's unbelievably hard to do. And it will be tough. But I think Unions are on the right direction.
Okay then, lads. Martin, who's going to win the Dr. Maguire on Sunday and why?
Well, first of all, I think it'll have a lot to do. Does Yunes have that experience? They're still very young, you know. You know, they're serious players. They've serious athletes now, but have that experience of being actual favourites going into the final, like, you know, going into the county final. There's a lot of hype about them. I know Rory will have tried and shun that away from them all week and that kind of stuff. Like, but it does seep in no matter what. You know, your people have phones, Twitter, all this kind of stuff. You know, are Yunens able to cope with that there? Like, because it'll not affect Glenties whatsoever. They'll fully believe they can win this year. Like, you know, but at the same time, just from even playing against both of them this year and seeing the way they've developed from last year, I think Yunens will win. Like, I do think it'll be a tight game, but I think they have more avenues to beat Glenties and Glenties have to beat Yunens. You know, if Yunens will put a press on the Glenties keepers' kickouts, they can make joy there. You know, they can get joy all over the pitch, whereas Glenties have to really get joy by turning them over in the middle and that kind of stuff. They've only one or two and a couple of high balls, and they've only one or two ways they can beat Yunens in my point of view, but they definitely can. Like, but I think it's Yunens will win. Like,
you wouldn't be surprised Sunday night if the cup's in Glenties either. You wouldn't be made overly surprised.
No, Glenties have a habit of doing that. They have a habit of, like, upsetting the odds, you know, and they'll be confident. All them players, likes of Wade, the likes of Brendan, the likes of Leo, Anthony Thompson, like, they'll fully believe they can win this week, you know. And look, they definitely can. They definitely can. But I just think the way Yunens have been playing, you know, all year, and I think they have a bit more work done this year than probably Glenties have from an earlier stage.
Eamon, who and why?
Yeah, I think this, basically to back up what Martin says, I only think you've got to have one way to beat, and that's the high ball. And, you know, Rory will have seen it was a bit of an issue because Kilkerr's big midfielder,
Jason Campbell.
Campbell went into the edge of the square a few times, so it was obviously flagged by Kilkerr, and Rory will have seen that. So he'll know that that's the only way they can get at them. And if you shut that down, you know, if you leave a big man a wee bit of a presence, to give Patton a wee bit of protection, then it takes away an awful lot. And that's the way Glenties need to get in and ask the questions of these young bucks, because Martin's 100% right. You know, back-to-backs are not easily done. And, you know, this is a young team, a lot of weight on the Union shoulders. And Glenties will ask questions. But I was so impressed with Unions and what they've been about basically all year that it's going against me to nearly do this. But I think Unions won comfortably again this year. I think Unions, and I can't believe I'm saying that about a Niamh Connell team, but I was just so impressed with them that I think Unions run out, you know, 6 to 7 points. And, you know, inevitably this is going to be played out on Monday morning from a pub in Glenties somewhere. So
I think I remember way back, was it, there was like people in the back of the Democrat, and was it only Frank McGlynn that picked Glenties?
I still
remember that there.
That's the main thing.
I just remember them seeing on social media. Hey,
funny, Manus 2000, our draw played St. Eunan's and it was 11-1. Manus Boyle went our draw and 11 went for St. Eunan's. And you know what's funny, and I say this, I've said this now a few times, I love the way when you're talking to lads during the year and they say they don't read the papers or listen to the podcast, but junior, intermediate and senior, the amount of lads that come up and go, Jesus, enjoyed the old podcast there. I love the way you tip whoever it is. I love the way you tipped against us there. So it's a bit of crack, but Eamon, I actually think the podcast could be played at half time, which is great.
Well, listen, it gives you more hits anyway, Paddy. But I just think Unions are just and just that wee bit ahead, and you know, hopefully, if they do go on to one, that they give Ulster a good rattle.
Look, and at the end of the day, your Twitter feed will probably be going mad now Sunday night. The thing is, with predictions, some people take them too serious as well. It's all they are is predictions. There's no bloody science to predict. Some people then think they're geniuses because they get a couple right. Like, you know.
Exactly. Hey, listen, if I was any good at predictions, GA predictions, I would be, down at the bookies and I'd be a rich man, but I'm not. And I think
there's nobody good at them. And I follow a lot of people that do predictions and I like a little punt. trust me, I've never met anybody in the world. They're good sometimes, they go on a roll, but they're hard to call. Like, they're, it's predictions for a reason. The only man I know who's good at them is Martin McElhinney.
Me and Martin are going with the Unions, are we?
I went for Glenties last year, but it was not too good. You went for Unions.
Just very quickly, everybody's going to be finished. I promise it's the last one. You're number 11 now, Eamon. Come back in a... I know you're a science man, so you don't believe in the afterlife, but if you did, you'd come back as a number 11 in a parallel universe. How do you both feel about being finished so early, as in everybody's going to be finished by the winners on Sunday, so you're going to have 3 full months off, Martin?
Yeah, I think it's a good job, to be honest with you. The last 2 seasons, you know, with Donegal Club Football, it's been brilliant. You knew when the league games were on, you knew when the championship was on. I know it was probably later last year, but I think it ran smoothly. Like, and it gives people more time off. You know, I know they say you're competing with other sports here and stuff like that. Like, but from a player's point of view, I think it's very good. Like, it gives players that downtime. Like, and that's what you want. You know, you want to be enjoying your football in the summer, and you don't want to be playing in November, December in the rain and stuff. And you want to be just have a set season every year, and the set, you know, when the games are on, you know, if you can book holidays in this time, you're not going to be affected. And that's a good thing from my point of view. Like.
And listen, it's overall in the balance of things, it's a good thing. Yes, there is negatives in terms of, you know, that break. If you're a manager working with a team, you won't see your same, and you said 3 months. You know, for a lot of teams, it's going to be more. You don't see that team. So any work you've done is just, you know, you're starting off. It's very hard to start off from the, more or less starting off from scratch is what I'm saying. So it's a big, long break. But listen, it is what it is in the grand scheme of things. When you, as Martin says, when you take them to the likes of holidays, and, you know, the season before this was just a mess. It was so unsustainable in terms of for attracting players, and you couldn't do anything. You couldn't plan your life around the club game at all, and at least now you can. And nothing is ever, you know, 100% positive or 100% negative. And I think in the balance of things, this is a good thing. But it's not all good, and don't let anybody, you know, paint it as a black and white issue. There is drawbacks on it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, lads, there's no drawbacks on your analysis either. Both surgical in your precision, and we do really appreciate your top class analysis here on the Donegal GAA podcast. And I mean that. Martin McElhinney and Eamon McGee, thanks very much, lads.
Thanks, Paddy.
Cheers, Paddy.
And just a reminder, the match is live on Ocean FM at 4:30 with Manus Boyle and myself on commentary. And the Donegal GAA podcast will also be released on a Sunday sometime after 8 p.m. Okay, so on Saturday in O'Donnell Park, Letterkenny, 3:30 throw-in, Letterkenny Gaels take on Karen Donagh. Joining me to discuss this one, St. Noel's manager Brian McCabe. Brian, just before we dissect the Junior A final, yous avoided the mighty men of St. Noel's, the spectre of relegation on Sunday.
Yeah, Paddy, it was a big result for the club. Our aim was to stay in the senior championship because we played long enough in the intermediate. And we know how tough it is to get out of it, Paddy. So we knew it was a last chance saloon for us and Mundoor. So we knew if we were to go down that road of playing in the intermediate, God only knows how long you could get back into, Paddy. Their clubs down there, and I would say they're playing in it 10, 15 years and they can't get out of it. It's a very hard competition to win, Paddy. So we knew we had 1 hour to prove ourselves. And I think, in fairness to the boys, we really showed up on Sunday, and we put on probably our best performance of the year.
Yeah, and some big leaders stood up, Brian. I know managers never like to single out anybody, but you had many on Sunday.
Ah, come here, Paddy. From 1 to 15, I think most of the boys would have got marked 7 out of 8 or 7, 8 out of 10, you know, kind of performance. And that's what you want, Paddy. You know, there were a few lads there probably that stood out big time. I thought overall Barry Griffin put in a massive for the 50 minutes he was on the field, and we came off with an injury. But I think he had a lot of stuff, good stuff came through Barry, and Patter was, you know, at his best, but the job probably Brendan done on Jamie Brennan, maybe a lot of people don't see them kind of things, you know. He snuffed Jamie out, and when you can keep Jamie Brennan scoreless, you know, it's a big help. And then come here, there were numerous people. Stephen, it was the first time he played inside all year, and you know, he showed the threat he was, you know, and there were boys all over the place were good, Paddy.
I was just saying on the Sunday night podcast to Francie Freel, Stephen is to St. Noel's what Mickey Higgerty was to Kilkiara, or Diver to Ardra, or Anthony Thompson currently still with Neve Connell. He's just one of those. Every club's lucky if they have one of them. He's a club legend, isn't he?
That's unbelievable, Paddy. You know, I think he was telling me there on Sunday training on Tuesday night. That's his 20th season playing with St. Noel's, and I think he's still only 35. 34, maybe coming 35 at Christmas. So, you know, he's probably playing championship or playing with our seniors his last 20 years. I mean, I would say, I don't know who would have the records, but I guarantee you not many men in Donegal football have scored as much as him. You know, it was phenomenal. You know, maybe this year he probably wasn't hitting the heights of the point tally that he was getting year in, year out. But, I mean, every day we would out, Paddy, he was getting 8-9 points a game. And maybe even there were days he was hitting double figures, you know. An outstanding servant to St. Noel's, and you know, we're just great that he's still about and still giving it, because there are very, very few of the 2012 team, you know, still at it. And in fairness to Stephen, he just gets on with it and he makes no bones about it, you know. And you never know controversy with him or anything like that there, Paddy, and he's a joy to work with.
I would imagine so, yeah. He's a really, really good lad. I actually marked him reserve years ago. I would say he must have been about 4 years of age playing it, but I know he was a lot younger than me, and now I know I was as slow as a wet week. I was joking with him at a wedding before. I think he got about 5 points off me from playing about 5 minutes. But honestly, when he was that underage, I used to remember him playing down in Pearce Memorial Park in Ardra. Very, very good player. He always knew he was going to be good. Okay, Brian Junior, just actually on a word on Bundoran, and it's, you mentioned it already. It's tough, isn't it? Like, we saw Terman even coming down last year, and he'd Clumber down since, what, 08, 09. Eirua took them 10, 11 years to come up. It's not a good place to go.
Paddy, it's not that it's a, you know, maybe at the end of the year you're playing, you know, Bundoran are probably going down now, and they're probably in a position, you know, the Paul Brennan thing to Bundoran, I think, was a huge, you know, a psychological blow to them during the year when they lost Paul, you know, for leadership and things like that there. And maybe they lacked a wee bit of that on Sunday. You know, if a Paul Brennan would have been playing against us, it would have been a different story, you know. But come here, it's hard to go down, Paddy, because you know, when you're a senior club, you know, it's easier to get boys out, and you know, you can drive that there. But when you go down to intermediate, it's a hard place to go, Paddy. There are a lot of seasoned teams in it, as you mentioned, Glenn, Terman, I know, chatting to Francie there frequently. They thought that a big call on it this year. You know, you look at Fannett. I mean, Paddy, it is, in my eyes, the tightest competition in the whole of Donegal football.
Yeah, that's for sure. The Junior A final on Saturday at 3:30, Brian. Both sides, in terms of approaching this, coming into it in a different way. Letterkenny Gales really wounded, losing two of the last three finals. And I think I read Karen Donagh have actually not been in a final since 2008. So it's going to be an interesting one, Brian. You actually, at the very start of this, you've been Letterkenny Gales the whole way.
Yeah, well, come here. Probably the thing that pointed Letterkenny Gales to me, Paddy, was that they're, you know, they're playing in Division 2, or they're playing in Division 2. They survived in Division 2. You know, that's a big bonus to, you know, no fault to the teams in the lower divisions. You know, it's just you're playing better quality players. Defenders are marking better forwards. Forwards are coming up against better quality defenders. But, you know, I watched Letterkenny Gales against against Naross in the semi-final, Paddy. They're probably going into the final in a good place, because they weren't overly impressive against Naross. You know, the Naross lads felt really hard done by a few decisions. You know, didn't give their way. The referee and the umpire overruled the two linesmen, or the referee and the linesman overruled the umpires twice to give two scores, and Naross weren't happy about that there, but. You know, Letterkenny Gales, they'd probably say they're in the final, got over the line against Naross without playing really, really well. And it's probably a good enough way to go into a final, you know. And they're probably a wee bit like done low last year, Paddy. They're probably feeling, you know, Downies beat them last year. And, you know, they're probably thinking, well, we need to step up this year. Well, Kieran Donagh, Paddy, the big thing, I know a few of the lads are glad here and works with me from Kieran Donagh. And they're going quite well. You know, they're happy where they're at. They're at a good league campaign. And then they have Conor O'Donnell back, Paddy. And we all know the quality of a player Conor O'Donnell is. And we've seen him in action with the county there.
Yeah, like, I think Letterkenny Guilds, there's big enough pressure on them, Brian. Like, I remember Buncrana a couple of years ago. They rallied really late that day. They got a goal and 2 points late on, or a goal and a point. And I think last year against Downings, that's a very good Downings team, but they just didn't. Yeah. They were a bit like Neve Columba in the intermediate final. I was at that game, and they just didn't show up at all.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true, buddy. No, I think against, they were hurt, the Buncrana game, they probably felt they could have got something out of it. And Buncrana went on to play in the Ulster final that year.
Yeah.
You know, so, but last year, no, I don't think there any qualms with last year. I know they changed their management. Sean McBrearty was in with them, but Sean's gone now. And Conor McBrearty, his son there, hadn't played much league, but he came back in for the last round of games, and he's a big player for them, you know. There's a bit of pressure on them, Paddy. You know, everyone, even though, you know, like, everyone talked them up that they were the team to won, or to won the junior championship. So, come here, they come into this with a wee bit of pressure behind them. So, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how they're going to handle that.
What would it be like for a junior club to have a player like Conor O'Donnell? Like, every senior, if there was a local transfer market, you'd have every senior club coming in for him. He would be lining out for any of the top three teams because he's a county player. If he goes well, he can cause Letterkenny Gales, you would imagine, unquantifiable damage.
Oh, big time, Paddy. You know, when, going back to the Narossa game, young Killian Boner played inside and he caused Letterkenny big bother. So, you know, you're adding the quality of player of Conor O'Donnell. I'm sure Kieran Donagh have watched videos of that, and they're going to say, well, you know, Narossa's is causing big bother in their full back line. So if we get enough quality ball into Conor O'Donnell, you know, he can cause them bother. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how they're going to approach it. Well, have they got someone to mark Conor, you know, a player like Conor O'Donnell, which will be the big one, Paddy.
Yeah,
you know, they're probably going to look at, I don't know who they're going to put, maybe. It's hard to know picking out, Paddy, who they're going to put on Conor, or put on Conor O'Donnell. Are they going to try to double team him or what?
Yeah. Who are you going for, Brian?
Ah, come here. I still think that, you know, Letterkenny Gales, I still think they should maybe have a wee bit, just maybe a couple of points too much for Kieran Donagh. But at the same time, as you say, if Conor O'Donnell turns up, you know, it might be, you know, one of those games I could go either way. But, you know, Letterkenny Gales have a lot about them too. They have Conor McBrearty. They have Brian Dever there. You know, he was involved with the Letterkenny IT teams there. And they have a very good goalkeeper in Sean Graham, you know. So, like, a lot of these games, Paddy, at the minute, is coming down to goalkeepers. Goalkeepers seem to be the, you know, the main players in a lot of teams. And even going back to our own game last Sunday, Paddy, you know, Gavin O'Reilly made a huge save for us with, I think there were 5 points in it. You know, and goalkeepers now on Saturday evening, even in the senior semi-final, you know, it was kind of a tale of both keepers. You know, Jason Campbell made a mistake, Kevin Campbell made a mistake, and Union's got a goal of it, but Patton, you know, was kick-outs and that. So, I mean, it could come down to someone like that there, a battle of the keepers here, Paddy, and Sean Graham, in my eyes, wasn't a bad keeper.
Yeah.
So I would just give the wee nod maybe to Letterkenny Gales, but I wouldn't be overly surprised if Kieran Donagh, you know, would turn them over at the same time.
Yeah, sure. Are you going to the senior county final on?
Oh, definitely, Paddy. Definitely. It's going to be interesting. You know, I was just thinking there earlier, Paddy, you have the three beaten teams that lost the senior, the intermediate, and the junior. The low have won, or last year, the low have won up. You know, Kieran Donagh, Letterkenny Gales make it two. And then they're waiting on St. Union's, Glenties. So you had a queer out bet there this time last year, if you said the three beaten finalists would, you know, could won it the following year.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I might see you on Sunday night for the podcast. Who do you think? We've already analysed the death of it, but who do you...
Come here, I still think, Paddy, looking at a number of games through the year, I just think later, you St. Unions have that much quality about them, and then everyone's talking, the Sean Patton thing's huge, Paddy. I thought he was immense on that last Saturday night, so some of the kick-outs.
Yeah. I actually thought...
But come here, weather and things like this can play a big part in it this time of year. Hopefully, Paddy, it'll be a good game and that, you know, there's kind of, it mightn't be free-falling, but it's the intensity of it and, you know, it's the battle on the line and things like that there. You have to look forward to, Paddy. You know, but you have to admire, you have to, Paddy, at the end of the day, admire these Glenties lads. Like, some of them playing in their 10th final or something like that there, you know. That's unbelievable stuff in this day and age, Paddy.
Some of them on 11.
You know, people dream of playing in one.
Yeah.
You know, but I know, come here, you just hope, Paddy, that it lives up to the billing that it's going to be. And it's great to see, you know, the game on Tina G for people that, you know, just don't go to, for especially for older people and things like that there.
100%. You bring the pen and the notebook, Brian, because we'll get three or four of us on Sunday evening where we will be reviewing that one and quick look back at the Junior A final. Brian, thanks very much for joining me here on the Donegal GAA podcast.
No bother, Paddy. We'll see you Sunday.
We will talk to you all on Sunday. Big shout out to Austin O'Callaghan on production. All of my guests today, Brian McCabe, Martin McElhenney, and Eamon McGee. And a big shout out to you, most of all, our loyal listeners. We will be back on Sunday evening at around 8:30, where we will be reviewing that big county final and indeed all the matches from the weekend. Bye for now. Stay safe and talk to you on Sunday evening.
FM.
Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.